From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 124 with guest Sahil Malik, recorded Saturday, August 22nd, 2009. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, everybody. Richard, how are you?
I'm well, sir, and coming into the fall now, so I've got a crazy conference season.
Yeah, it's your fall is, you know what, it's not just the fall. I mean, let's be real. You travel all the time.
I do, but, you know, the summer, I only did about four shows in the summer. I'm doing like 10 in 2.5 months.
Well, see, for you, 10 in 2.5 months, see, that's crazy for you. But for most people, four shows in the summer is completely insane as well.
Oh, well, there you go.
So really what it means is that your baseline is completely insane.
Yeah, and so when it finally gets to panic levels for me, it must be completely irrational. Okay, I'm okay with that.
But you love that stuff.
Yeah.
And you're good at it. So
thank you.
You know, hey.
We all have our hobbies.
Yeah, I fly airplanes and you do trade shows.
There you go. Hey, we're talking SharePoint today. Let me jump in with our guest here. Sahil Malik is the founder and principal of WinSmarts and has been a Microsoft MVP and Ineta speaker for the past many years. Author of many books and numerous articles, consultant and trainer who delivers training and talks at conferences internationally, and a good friend of mine. We've spoken together on, I guess, 3 or 4 continents. Hey, Sahil, how you doing?
Hey, Richard. Hey, Greg. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Quite good. Saturday.
Yeah, it's unusual for us to be recording on a Saturday, but I'm enjoying it. It's kind of peaceful around my place, and here we are.
That's nice.
We did a show a little while ago with you on .NET Rocks about SharePoint, and I really wanted to get you back to talk about the IT side of SharePoint with SharePoint 2007. So how is it to run the infrastructure for SharePoint these days?
Well, you know, that's great because one of the things that I mentioned on the .NET Rocks show was that there is a higher overlap between the IT pro and developer roles in the case of SharePoint as compared to a .NET project.
Right.
But still, the IT pro side of things is a very well-defined role in SharePoint. And today, really, I mean, you know, honestly, I want to talk about the challenges people have faced when running a SharePoint 2007 farm and trying to manage it from an IT pro side. So, I mean, let's just pick, you know, topic by topic by topic. How is performance to begin with?
Right. And I think performance is always great right up until people start really using it. Then you get bitten.
Yeah, and I know I had a conversation with somebody recently in a work context where they're talking about using SharePoint, you know, the platform SharePoint as like a foundational platform for building great big applications on, like high scale applications. So how does it perform and how does it scale?
Now, see, so we are going to do another follow up show to this and, you know, also talk about what SharePoint 2010 brings to the picture, and especially that we're so close to the release of SharePoint 2010, it would probably be, we wouldn't get the whole picture unless we did consider the next version as well.
Sure.
But it's, you know, we're in August right now, and the show is going to release in September, so we can't really talk about 2010, so I guess probably what we'll do is we'll go over a few topics in this show and talk of how they apply to 2007, And then possibly do a follow-up show on you know, how 2010
sure
makes these things better, I guess.
No, absolutely, and I'm we'll look forward to doing that.
Lovely. Okay, so let's talk about performance. Now, let me take the example of, say, Excel services, right? Now, in SharePoint 2007, you have a concept of something called as the shared service provider, right? And the shared service provider is typically another website or something that can be segregated out to another server, where the shared service provider takes the responsibility of doing a lot of heavy-duty tasks behind the scenes, right? Things that the shared service provider is responsible for doing is, let's say, user profile import. So you may designate, the Active Directory or some other source as the source of your user profiles. So first, let me talk a little bit about what user profiles are. Let's say I log into my account every morning onto the network using domain/smalloc, but my identity is a little bit more than domain/smalloc. I have a first name, last name. I have certain qualifications. I have a manager, my location. So all that other metadata about the user is the user profile. And typically, you would have this user profile information stored in the AD. That's one of the very typical sources. But then you would also have parts of the user profile stored in other stores, like a database somewhere, for instance, or a SAP database or an HR system or something like that. So the shared service provider has the responsibility of keeping SharePoint in sync with the rest of the user profile stores in the organization. And you have to configure this import yourself. We were talking about performance. So let's go back to Excel services. Excel services is relatively demanding for the server. Now, one of the limitations that the shared service provider model has is that in a farm, on a SharePoint farm, you can have multiple SSPs. One SSP can manage multiple web applications, but one web application can be managed by a maximum of one SSP at a time.
Okay.
So let's imagine that you have a particular web application that has a lot of demands on it from a performance side of point of view. And the reason I picked Excel services is that Excel services can get demanding on the server resources because, typically you're delegating, it's a very common scenario that you're delegating the sheet processing to a powerful machine such as a server because people's laptops are not, capable of doing it. The sheets are just too big. Of course, you want to share the sheets, and that's another big reason to use Excel services. But what happens is that since you have a single SSP devoted to a website, and if this website is very, very Excel services centric, you run into performance issues that you cannot scale. You can't tell SharePoint that, this one website is really, really overloaded. So I'd like its Excel services responsibilities to be delegated to three or four SSPs. You can't do that or you cannot even segregate the Excel services calculations from, say, user profile import or business data catalog it puts you under certain limits when it comes to scaling it out.
Right.
Now, there are products such as the Microsoft Compute Cluster that will allow you to scale Excel services, but then those products can get expensive or can become really challenging on hardware. Scalability is different than performance. Scalability is the trick of segregating your work into, equal and similar pieces and distributing them across a farm of servers so any server can pick up at any time. Right?
Right.
So it's cheaper to scale amongst a number of cheaper servers rather than to build this one humongous server that is so darn powerful.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And gives out so much hot air that we can keep DC warm without the politicians, right?
but also, you get more reliability when you have redundant hardware like that.
Absolutely. You have better uptime. So if the SSP goes down, and so one of the things that the SSP is responsible for is search, and when search goes down, if you have a small farm, it's not an issue because you'll simply reindex. But one of the challenges with backing up search is that you have to back up the database and the index files at exactly the same time.
Right.
And it is just, let's say you've got a terabyte size of a farm, it's going to take a day for SharePoint to reindex all the content. And, you know, if you bring the farm up, say, in a high availability scenario, and if search is going to be inaccurate or unavailable for the next 24 hours, that's sort of unacceptable. So you back up search and you restore search. But that's difficult because, you know, you want to back up both the index files and the database at exactly the same time. And again, I mean, it's sort of hard to do that with 2007. There are third-party products that may help you, but at least out of the box, it's a little hard to do it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. There's third-party tools for that, but they're not free either.
Oh, absolutely not. And one of the challenges with, I wouldn't say challenges, but one of the worries that I always have whenever I purchase a third-party tool is that how is this tool going to work when I'm ready to upgrade to the next version?
Right, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, the more tools you introduce, potentially more things there are for you to check when you are upgrading. And, you know, then you just introduce more and more interdependencies. And some vendors are better than others in ensuring that the product will upgrade smoothly.
Yeah, but it's definitely a vulnerability. And we've all been burned by this before, that suddenly you're trapped, unable to move to the latest Microsoft product because the third-party vendors you're using don't support it yet.
Right. Or you find out that you make an investment in a third-party provider, and then that becomes something that becomes requested so much in the core product that it just becomes part of the core product. That's happened before, too. Yeah.
Exactly. So, again, I mean, talking further about performance, another thing that is, I want to say it's a little bit of a myth or a rumor about SharePoint, is that SharePoint lists are capped at 2,000 items in a you can't put more than 2,000 items in a SharePoint list. That is a myth. When SharePoint 2007 was new, Microsoft released some guidances, and they were very safe and conservative on, you know, what you can do with a list. And one of the things they said was that if you go beyond 2,000 items in a particular view, any container rather, then you may see performance degradation beyond 2,000 items.
Got it.
And while that is true, there are still many other ways to go beyond 2,000 items. There are ways to go beyond millions of items. What they really meant over there was that in a particular container, so in a view or as in a folder, you know, if you show 2,000 items or if you extract 2,000 items at the same time or more, then it's going to take a while for SharePoint to return all those items. And that's fair. But if you use, say, a camel query behind the scenes, then you can easily query millions of items in a matter of milliseconds, right?
Right.
So that sounds pretty good. Also, there are facilities such as, you know, logical indexes, even in 2007, where, you know, you can create logical indexes on a certain column, and then the 2,000 limit can go up to, say, 20,000, and, you know, you can continue to increase it. So, but again, the challenge that poses, both on the developer and the IT pro guy, is that you sort of have to guess and estimate and rather predict the usage of a particular SharePoint list, and you have to block the scenarios yourself where some user might query 10,000 items in one go, right? And you have to sort of write the UI in a certain way, or the IT pro guy has to, you know, monitor the lists himself and manage them. And sort of the IT pro guy has to go and look around for these problems or problems waiting to happen and take necessary steps in advance. And this sort of creates more extra work for the IT pro guy to sort of manage and monitor all these lists that have the potential of growing large.
Right.
And again, the IT pro guy technically should not be worried about the functionality. Their role is more about keeping the servers running and availability and those kinds of things. So it becomes hard for the IT pro guy to guess which list is going to get big. That's really the application developer or the business application owners would know that better. So that's another challenge that people, you know, they rely on extra work and they rely on better communication. And we know we have plenty of that in most projects we work in.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
very easy.
Now, another interesting thing that is a sort of a segue from the SSP limitation that I mentioned earlier, where you have one SSP that can manage multiple websites, but one website can be managed by a single SSP at any given time, right? And that creates a whole set of challenges in itself. So one problem I mentioned was scalability, but it also results in some functionality-related issues. So one of the things I mentioned earlier was user profiles. Now, this is another challenge. Let's say you have multiple farms in your organization, and you would say, why would you have multiple farms? Well, it's quite typical to have multiple farms. If an organization commits to SharePoint, and let's say that they have an intranet based on SharePoint and they have an extranet based on SharePoint, chances are that these intranet and extranet are probably going to be on a complete set of different servers and also maybe segregated because of security reasons, if nothing else,
right?
Well, and once you get to a large-scale application like that, shouldn't you have dedicated hardware? Shouldn't that farm just do that one thing?
A farm is a way for you to scale out. Now, you could argue that why not just add more web front ends into the same farm and not have separate farms? And that is a way of scaling it out, absolutely. But for various other reasons, you may end up with multiple farms.
Right.
The security is a very big reason why you may want separate farms. Right. Your outside-facing website may not be allowed to talk to your intranet, because if a hacker breaks into an outside-facing site, you don't want them coming into the inside network.
Sure.
So there are multiple reasons why you'd have to have multiple farms. But again, the challenge that produces is that's a user profile information. Your extranet users and your inside users, well, extranet is inside users plus external users. So shouldn't the identity of the inside users or the user profile information on the extranet and intranet farms be same or at least shared to some extent?
Right.
But if you have an SSP that is limited to, I won't even say one farm, it is limited to one website, or rather the one website can be managed by one SSP at a given time, then it becomes very difficult to share user profile information between multiple farms.
Right. Do you have to build a bridge for that specifically? Some kind of DMZ?
You'd have to write code to do that. And I did write some code for that very purpose. It's at codeplex.com/mossprofileimport. But this is open source shareware, and we know how much IT pros like to deal with other people's code, because a lot of IT pro people are not developers.
Yeah, no kidding.
So the IT pro guy has to go and ask the developer hey, I have this tool. Can you use this to move profile information from one farm to another? And then somebody has to write those manually scripted jobs to do it. Like with the tool that I mentioned, Moss Profile Import, it has the ability to export out profile information as an XML file, and they move over the XML file, and then you import the profile information into the other server.
Right.
And then you may have profile properties as well, because SharePoint allows you to embellish the user profile information with properties that did not ship out of the box, but they may be useful to you. So you can add more properties to the user profile. And again, if you add a property, and each property can have multiple characteristics, like it's in string with so much length and so on and so forth, and you have to accurately make sure that those properties are reflected and are exactly the same on the other side, on the other farm. So keeping profile information in sync across multiple farms almost always becomes a challenge.
Okay.
And, it's a challenge, but, it's just more work for the people managing the system. It's not a challenge that can't be solved, but it's just more work, and it's just annoying headaches that we have to deal with. So that's another example where, the whole SSP model that we have in SharePoint 2007 results in a few challenges that are extra work that we have to deal with. So that's probably, one of the scenarios. Now, one of the things you mentioned earlier was why should we have multiple farms? Frequently, when we deploy custom code to SharePoint, some of the changes go in the database, but frequently a lot of those changes go onto the file system.
Okay, yeah.
like, you know, when you deploy a solution, you may edit a certain, you know, web.config, or you may add certain files. And SharePoint will also let you overwrite out-of-the-box Microsoft files, but as a best practice, you should not do that. So, you know, when you watch a movie and they say no animals were hurt in filming this movie, right, your SharePoint solution should say no Microsoft files were hurt in building the solution. But, you know, some people, yeah, people, it's just a best practice, so people may not follow those rules, right? Now, you know, ASP.NET is one of those things that is the other Microsoft technology we use to create web-based applications. And one of the things that ASP.NET is very good at is its ability to work in a hosted scenario, right?
Yes.
So let's say I'm a person who has a very low budget and I want to have an internet-facing site. You know, I'll just contact someone, you know, one of these hosting providers like Orcus Web or whatnot, and they would give me a space on a server with very well-defined limitations, and then that gives the hosting provider the confidence that I cannot potentially do anything that is going to affect other applications on the same server.
Okay, right? Yeah, that's the way you do it with ASP.NET. Can you do that with SharePoint?
Well, see, it's challenging. What you have to do, see, when I'm deploying custom code, I have the ability to write to the file system. And then the file system now is shared amongst everybody on the same server.
Right.
In fact, we are sharing literally the same file. And what that causes is, you know, it just creates a management nightmare.
Sure.
For the hosting provider. So typically what hosting providers will do is that they will just say, well, you know, we're just going to limit you. You can't add, you know, you can't add custom solutions. And, you know, if it's difficult for them to be able to provide a single server where multiple tenants can live.
Yeah.
Let's say, again, take the example of the user profile import service. Can you have, you know, such a shared service or a resource made available to multiple people without them having stepping on each other?
Yeah, you will import somebody else's data.
Yeah, how do you prevent that from happening? And can you have a scenario where you can say, well, person A, you're willing to pay more, so you can have five of my services. But person two, who doesn't need my five services, I can give you only two, the ones that you really need, and I'll charge you lesser. Can you do that with 2007? Not really. Another thing is that, you know, you have a concept of site collections in SharePoint.
Right.
So what a lot of hosting providers will do is that they'll say that we will restrict you. If you want to have a completely hands-off management of a SharePoint-hosted server, right, this is sort of what you have to do in 2007, is that you say, well, we're going to give you a site collection, or let's say a website in which you can create your own site collection, but you have to go ask us to create a site collection, us as in the hosting provider.
Right.
Because to create a site collection, you have to go through central administration. You don't want to give access to central administration to end users.
These sound like the same problems we used to have with hosted SQL Server, where there really was no concept of isolating tenants.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I would think SQL Server would have a lot of similar problems. But how do you do that now in SQL Server?
Well, now the client's gotten more sophisticated, where I can individually identify what users can see, what databases, and so on, so that I can fire up the master client, but only see my databases in a shared environment.
Oh, yeah. I remember you used to be able to see the list of every single database on a server.
Right.
That's
right. And then it would go, oh, no, you can't access that.
Yeah.
Isn't the answer here from the SharePoint perspective today to use virtual machines for isolation?
Well, you can, but then, you know, when you run a virtual machine, then you're sort of handing over a full machine to the end user,
yes,
even though it's virtual. And then you have a limit on how many VMs can you run on a particular piece of hardware, so it then becomes expensive. And I'm sure that a lot of hosting providers probably do that. They say, well, we'll give you SharePoint hosting, but really what they're giving you is that they're just giving you Windows hosting. And, you know, they say, here is your Windows box, and you have access to every portion on this particular system. We're running this Windows box in our data center, even if it's virtual or physical, doesn't matter. but you own this entire box. And you know what? If you break it, you fix it.
Yeah, your problem. All we can do is roll it back.
Right. And snapshots are a great way of doing that. But let's consider this. A typical SharePoint farm has got a domain controller and multiple machines. Just because you rolled the snapshot on one machine doesn't mean that your entire farm got snapshotted. So snapshots, it makes you safe, but they don't make you immune to the management issues that that may cause.
Yeah, I've always felt that snapshots are one of those great ways of making you feel like you're backed up right up until you try and restore it.
Yeah, that's about right. And you know, the Active Directory works in strange ways.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you rename an account, the SID changes. And the SID is something that doesn't really show on the screen very well. You have command line utilities to find that out. But if the SID changes and the problem doesn't surface easily to the IT pro manager, you know, you're going to run into a problem later that's going to be very hard to diagnose.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, I mean, there are those kinds of scenarios. So, as I was saying, you know, one of the ways that a lot of people have solved the hosting challenges are, you know, they would give users a site collection, and they would say, this is your site collection, and do whatever you want out of the box, but we don't let you deploy custom code when we don't let you deploy custom solutions. And then, you know, you just use SharePoint out of the box, and then it is still good, but it's not, I mean, you just miss out on so much. There's so much more that you can do with SharePoint when you customize it.
Right.
You know, and there are things that come out of the box with SharePoint, like the wiki, for instance, is okay, but it's not the best wiki around, or the discussion board. You frequently want to enhance it further, but if it's a site collection you got, that's all you've got. So that's another sort of challenge. That in running SharePoint in a shared hosting scenario is difficult both for the end user and also for the IT pro manager. And if you start giving people site collections, then other than establishing quotas, it is sort of difficult to guesstimate on, say, how much CPU resources is a particular site collection using, for instance.
Right.
I mean, you can check disk usage, but CPU usage and, you know, how much of the server is somebody really using becomes a little difficult to check. So here's another sort of challenge that people run into when they're running a SharePoint farm. Typically, say, let's say in an extranet scenario, let's say that you're an organization who's bought into SharePoint, and now you've created an intranet that is based on SharePoint, and now you want to create an extranet that is based on SharePoint.
Yep.
Now, by definition, an extranet is something that both internal and external users will use. And by definition, internal users will want to use that extranet using their Active Directory identities.
Right.
Because it seamlessly logs them in. You get great things such as client integration and so on and so forth. Now, there is this user who accesses the extranet both from inside and outside.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Right.
And then what happens is that in SharePoint, when you implement an extranet, what you have to do is that, by definition, you have multiple authentication mechanisms on the same content.
Right.
So one is, let's say, forms-based or RSA, and the other is Active Directory. So in SharePoint 2007, what you have to do is that you have to take the same website and you have to extend it on another port or another host header, basically onto another website.
Right.
And then you can have multiple authentications on the same content, but you can have only one kind of authentication on one website.
Right.
So to support multiple authentications, you have to extend the website, and the extended website can use forms based off, for instance.
So you're creating a new IIS virtual server, if you will, or a new instance of IIS.
IIS website.
Yeah, a new IIS website, and you're pointing that at the same content and using a different authentication mechanism.
Absolutely.
Don't you get into conflicts with the actual ACLs that are on the files then?
Well, when working with SharePoint, you almost never set ACLs on individual files themselves.
Okay.
If you look at the details of how ACLs are implemented out of the box with SharePoint, what it does, it'll create a group called WSS_WPG.
Right.
Yeah.
And the files in the AT directory, which is your inet pub, and in the 12 hive are given read access, read and execute access to WSS underscore WPG. And as long as you've given those rights, you're set. That's all you need to do. So you don't end up giving ACLs to individual files, but you do give ACLs to or individual permissions to items such as list items or lists or sites.
Right.
But those go in the database, and the database is shared amongst multiple websites.
Right.
So that's not such a problem.
Yeah.
So that access then is managed outside of it's application managed access. SharePoint is managing that security.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I mean, this sounds like an ingenious solution that you have two websites or two kinds of authentication, but this introduces some challenges. One challenge it introduces is that the way it allows you to use forms-based authentication is that it uses the membership provider API that comes with ASP.NET and forms-based authentication that comes out of ASP.NET. Now, let's say that I have, on the same form, I have three different websites using three different kinds of forms authentication talking to three different databases. Now, for central administration to understand which website uses, to understand forms-based authentication and to understand their user stores, central administration needs to be able to connect to those databases as well, the user store databases, the username, password, wherever that is, for all those three websites. Now, ASP.NET doesn't support the concept of having multiple websites in the membership provider database. It supports multiple applications, but the application in this case is always at root because it's a website. So it doesn't support the segregation of multiple websites, and therefore, as a result of that, central administration will not prevent you from marking a user from website A as a site collection administrator to website B.
Okay.
In fact, it doesn't even prevent you is a different thing. It doesn't tell you if you're doing that. There is no way for you to execute a people picker search that restricts you to only a single database of users. Because ASP.NET doesn't support that concept, and SharePoint builds on that. So, it becomes a management hassle for IT pros. That's one issue. Another issue it creates for you is that you have a system that you extranet that you've created that can be accessed both by internal users and external users. Now, there is this guy who's an internal user who accesses the system over AD when he's inside. When he goes home, he accesses the system over an external user, using a forms-based authentication mechanism. But now, as far as SharePoint is concerned, this user is a completely different guy when he's outside the network, right? Because he's coming from a different user store, and there is no way for SharePoint to know that this username password that came across a forms-based authentication is really the same guy that maps to this Active Directory identity when on the inside.
Right.
Can't do it.
Yeah, there's no way to connect those together.
Right. So, this sounds trivial, but it creates a lot of challenges because let's say that this particular user is said Richard, and Richard needs to be able to edit this particular file. And Greg goes in and gives Richard access to this file, but he forgot to give access to forms-based Richard, but he did give access to AD-based Richard.
Right.
Right.
So
right,
now
right,
when
right.
Richard goes home, Richard has to call Greg and say, hey, can you give these rights to me? And then it's just one file. You multiply that with multiple files or, lists or whatever that Richard could get access to and multiply it with all the users that you have. And you pretty soon begin to see that this becomes a challenge.
Well, that happened just the other day, and I thought Richard was just drunk dialing me, but it turns out he was just confusing me because I couldn't decide which user he was talking about.
Sahil, isn't the mistake here using form-based security? Couldn't they be doing some digest authentication or something that still actually use the AD identity?
Well, yes and no. I mean, then what you'd have to do is you'd have to expose your internal AD to the outside network. And, you know, we don't want to do that for security reasons. And the second thing is that if you use SharePoint 2007 Active Directory-based identities directly exposed over the internet, then what happens is that the browser will prompt you for a username password, and you're supposed to enter it in the form of domain slash username and then password.
Right.
And, I mean, how many business users do you know who will remember to type in the domain? And how many business users do you know who will type in the right slash over there? So then it creates a help desk nightmare.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of very hard to be on the phone and tell them that, what kind of slash do you have? What did you make sure you typed in the domain? Now, let's add more complexity to that. A lot of security conscious organizations will also have policies in place that say, if you enter the username password incorrectly three times, we'll lock your account out.
Right.
So then, you know, the guy enters his password and enters it incorrectly, and bingo, next morning his account is locked out and he can't do anything. So it just creates a support hassle.
Yeah, exactly. There's got to be a better way to do all these things, right? We've certainly identified an awful lot of opportunity.
Right. And for the authentication side of things, specifically, I can talk a little bit about this because this is already out, is claims-based authentication that will be available in the next version of SharePoint.
Oh.
In fact, it is claims-based authentication is applicable to more than just SharePoint. So I'm not talking about SP2010. I'm talking more about claims-based authentication. And, you know, that'll solve a lot of problems. You know, in fact, even enabling scenarios such as delegation over the internet, you know, that my identity flows to another system over the internet, or the ability for you know, multiple organizations to talk to each other and be able to log in. Say, let's say I want to log into you know, Run As Radio slash something, but a server that is hosted by you, Richard, but I want to use an identity that is familiar to me. So I want to use WinSmart slash SMLIC, but I'm logging into a server that you host.
Right.
And so currently you do that using ADFS, but let's say you had 10 such organizations, and the ADFS pretty soon becomes very, very, very complex to manage across 10 organizations.
Yeah.
And then not to mention ADFS is not the simplest thing to set up either. And then, you know, things such as client integration with, you know, Office client app starts to break.
Right.
And claims-based authentication does end up fixing a lot of that as well. And we'll talk more about that in detail, I guess, in the second episode of this this podcast.
So that sounds very very Geneva-like. So we're talking about, are we talking about trusting identity providers and that type of mechanism? Is that what you're talking about?
You know, I may be confusing the code names because I think the code names have changed, but I think we're talking about Geneva. But then
yeah.
At some point, the code name used to be Zermatt. I'm guessing that they changed it. But I think the name now is claims-based authentication. But when you say Geneva, we very may well be talking about the same thing.
Sure. You're sure. Well, good. Well, that will be interesting to talk about when the time is right.
Perfect. Now, how much time do we have left?
We're good to go, man. Let's wrap it up.
Okay. So I'll wrap it up by saying just one other thing, that high availability and backups and restores has been another massive challenge in the case of SharePoint projects.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And again, it can be done, but it is a hassle to do it. It takes a lot of work to implement a good backup and high availability story on SharePoint 2007. And hopefully we can talk more about that in the next podcast.
You bet. Sahil, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Sahil.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.